turn together now to Psalm 23. As you're turning there to those familiar words, as we're approaching the middle of this psalm, we've been greatly comforted by the fact that our God is a God who restores from dark places. We looked at that last time. He doesn't break the bruised reed. He doesn't quench the smoking flax. He's near to the brokenhearted, the contrite, those who are crushed in spirit. And not only does he restore us, picking us up again and setting us on our feet once again, but he also teaches us again and leads us again to walk in paths of righteousness. And all this we saw last time he does for his name's sake. He does this because of who he is. He is our shepherd. He is our good shepherd. Well, as David, the author of this psalm, looks over his life, he thinks about those dark places. He thinks about all that he's been through, where he's lost his grip on God, where he's strayed off the path. But he can see all along the way how even though he lost his hold of God, God never lost his hold on him. And he thinks of the ways in which God has restored him and brought him back. He thinks of the ways in which God has caused him to walk in paths of righteousness. And he thinks about who God is. And that he does all this for his name's sake. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is, our good shepherd. Now this brings comfort to David. And especially now as he looks forward, as he looks ahead, because David knows that there is a dark place in which he has yet to walk. It's a dark place where we must all walk. That dark place that David describes so well here in verse 4 as the valley of the shadow of death. So we're going to read all of Psalm 23 again in just a moment, but focusing in there on verse 4, let's pray and then we'll read. Oh God, as we gather around your word again tonight, we ask that you would guide us, lead us in paths of righteousness by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace, through Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, I invite you to stand if you're able now for our reading, again, Psalm 23. This is God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Yes, God is a God who restores from dark places. He is a God that leads us again in paths of righteousness. But that doesn't mean that we can bypass this valley, take a detour around this valley. It doesn't mean that we won't face death. David is abundantly clear. This is a valley through which we must all walk. Should the Lord tarry, death will come for all of us. It will come for me, and it will come for you. There will come a moment when I will draw my last breath, and there will come a moment when you will draw your last breath. Now, this, of course, is the terrible result of Adam's sin, of Adam's fall. Death to all. And we are deserving of it not only because Adam's sin is our sin, and his guilt is our guilt, but also because of our actual sins, the sins we commit on a daily basis. The wages of sin is death. And yet, as David considers his own death, He considers his death in a particular way, in a particular light. He considers his death as a sheep and as a sheep of the shepherd, as a sheep of the good shepherd. He considers his death as a sheep who belongs to a shepherd. And we have to pause just for a moment to take note of that. Here's David, and he does consider his own death. He doesn't ignore it. He doesn't look away from it, pretend it's not going to happen, as though somehow he could avoid it. But he thinks upon that. He knows it's coming. He knows it's a valley he will need to walk. He doesn't know yet what that valley will look like for him, what shape it will take, what contour it will take, how long it will last. He knows none of those things. He simply knows that valley is ahead. And brothers and sisters, we're wise when we consider that valley, when we consider death, and especially our own. It's good for us to count our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. Why would Scripture tell us that? Because it leads us to take stock of those things that are eternal, those things that ultimately matter. And so as David considers his own death, and as we, by God's grace, consider our own death, we do so also, as David does, as sheep that belong to the good shepherd. And this is what leads David to say something very remarkable. He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." So yes, that valley is ahead, but that valley is not my home. The valley of the shadow of death is not the home of the sheep. It's not their final resting place. The good shepherd of the sheep has never left a single one of his sheep in this valley, and he never will. And you see, again, we're in the middle of Psalm 23. Psalm 23 doesn't end with verse 4. It's not the end of the psalm. And it's not the end of the psalm because death is not the end of the sheep of the good shepherd. We walk through this valley. We don't remain there. Now, we live now by faith. We live by faith, not by sight. And perhaps there's nothing more than death that impresses that truth upon us. Because when you stand at the graveside of a loved one on that day of their burial, it can all seem so very final. It can seem like the end. There's that open tomb, and perhaps you stay after the graveside service and you watch the casket of your loved one lowered into the ground and the cover of the vault placed upon it and sealed and the earth placed over the grave. You know that in a few weeks, perhaps, the tombstone then will go up and you may come from time to time and visit the graveside, visit that place and place flowers there or stand there and remember, flooded with memories. And it can all seem so very final. But the valley of the shadow of death is not the end for the sheep of the good shepherd. In many ways, it's just the beginning. Look at the way David describes death. He says, we will walk through this valley, and he calls it a valley, and he calls it the valley of the shadow of death. Death is a valley. That is to say, it's a low point. It's a terrible low point. If you've walked there with a loved one, you know this. You've buried a father or a mother, a husband or a wife, a child. You know just how dark this valley is. It's a valley. The brokenness of your heart, the dashing of your hopes, the grief, the sorrow, the tears, the numbness. It is a valley. But notice David calls it the valley of the shadow of death. For the sheep of the good shepherd, this valley is not the valley of death. That's not what it's called. It's the valley of the shadow of death. It's not death itself and all of its terror. It is the shadow of those things. Now, kids, do you know what's needed to cast a shadow? Do you know what's needed for a shadow to be cast? Well, if all is dark, If it's only darkness and you can't see anything and there's no light, well, then there can be no shadow. Light is needed for a shadow. And sometimes only a very small amount of light to cast that shadow. And so David is writing here about this valley of which he knows that he will one day walk as a sheep of the good shepherd. And he knows that no matter how deep and how dark this valley is, it is still the valley of the shadow of death. There is light there as well. Now we know that that light is the light of the resurrection. It's a light that pierces the deepest darkness. And perhaps at first in the throes of grief, of sorrow, that light is very small to us. But as you continue to stand upon the promises of God's word, and many here can testify to this, as you continue to stand upon the promises of God's word and consider the fact again that you are a sheep of the good shepherd, that light more and more dispels the darkness of that valley. We have this hope because of Jesus' resurrection. The good shepherd has gone before us. And so as Christians, when we are there in the valley of the shadow of death, we mourn, we grieve, and let me say that's appropriate. Remember Jesus himself. Remember our good shepherd. How he wept at the tomb of a friend. And he wept at the tomb of this friend, knowing full well he would raise him from the dead in just moments. But he wept in the face of death and all that it is. And so it is appropriate to mourn, to grieve, but we don't do so as those with no hope. We know him to whom we belong. And so we have this hope, even in the darkest of places, even in this valley, not the valley of death, but the valley of the shadow of death. Now, we need to be careful with that, though, don't we? And I'm saying this as somebody who's been to a lot of funerals, and you've been to a lot of funerals, and you've seen maybe the shift in the way some funerals are conducted. There's been a change in funerals to treat death as, well, just natural. It's natural. And then the focus is just on the person who died and maybe saying some nice things about them, celebrating their life. But we must not forget that death is an enemy. It is not natural in that it is not what we were created for. It is not what God has made us for. Death is a terrible enemy. How does Scripture refer to it? It is the last enemy. And if you've ever been at the bedside of a loved one as they've died, you've witnessed their death, you know it's an enemy. It's ugly, it's heinous. It's not our friend. It's not natural. And yet, it's an enemy we need no longer fear. David says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Here is this great and terrible and last enemy that's there in the dark valley. And yet David says, "I'm not afraid. I need not fear him. I need fear no harm. I need not fear this enemy. I need not fear what it threatens." And there's one reason I need not fear. And it's not because of who David is. It's not because of who you are or who I am. I am a weak, straying, foolish, sinful, defenseless sheep who, when I get knocked over on my back, can't even get up again. I'm no match for this enemy. The only reason I do not fear this enemy is because of who God is. He is my strong and faithful and wise and powerful shepherd, and he is with me. He is with me. We've noted before that this phrase is the actual center of this psalm. You've got to look at the Hebrew, but in the Hebrew, this phrase, "you with me," is the very center, intentionally, poetically, the center of this psalm. There's 26 words in Hebrew before this phrase in the psalm, 26 words after this phrase in the psalm. It's the central point, the center of Psalm 23, the point we want to take away with us and focus in and zoom in on is this truth. You with me, David says. You with me. Here, in the deepest valley, in the darkest, most fearsome valley, still, you with me. You see what David's saying? Even death cannot separate us from our shepherd. The shepherd's bound himself to the sheep, and he's bound his sheep to himself. Nothing can separate us. He will bring us through this valley. And it comes through so very beautifully in Psalm 23. If you have your Bibles open, look again at verse 4 for a moment. And look at that central phrase, for you are with me, or literally you with me. And I mentioned at the beginning, there's something that has changed here in this psalm at this point with the central statement. Did you see it? Look at the pronouns in the verses 1 through 3 that lead up to this central statement. Up until the middle of this psalm, up until the middle of verse 4, the center of the psalm, the very heart of the psalm, David, the sheep, has been speaking about his shepherd. He makes me. He leads me. He restores me. Here, for the first time in this psalm, he speaks to his shepherd. You with me. And that's the shift now in the psalm. Here is intimacy. Here is communion. Here is fellowship. And now this valley has become, as the Puritans of old referred to it, a valley of vision. There's light here. Here in this deepest and darkest valley, a light surprises. David is seeing something about God that he has never seen in these depths before. Here, when we're at our weakest, we learn to see God perhaps more fully than ever before. Here we learn, in this deep, dark valley, even more of the character of our shepherd. Even this moment is not wasted. Here we learn more of who he is, and who he is to us, and who he is for us. Here we learn so much more of who God is. You with me. With me even in death. Especially in death. Whether it be when you're mourning the death of a loved one or facing your own. You with me. He's a shepherd who gives dying grace to his sheep. Over the time of my ministry, I've seen it many times. And maybe you have seen it with loved ones as well. Our God is a God who gives dying grace. It's a grace that's not given until then because it's not needed until then. But when that time comes, it is given. And the dying grace that he gives, well, it's nothing less than himself, his own presence. He is the good shepherd who has laid down his life for his sheep. And there comes this profound sense and experience of those things. What it means to belong to Christ, body and soul, in life and in death. Octavius Winslow put it so beautifully when he said, his death has essentially and entirely changed the character of yours. Death cannot sting you. Christ has died. The grave cannot hold you. Christ is risen. Sin cannot condemn you. Christ has atoned. Satan cannot touch you. Christ has conquered. So Paul can write in Romans 8, we are not conquerors, we are what? More than conquerors through him who loved us. In Jesus Christ, we're not only conquerors, we do not only have a conquered enemy, that last enemy, but we have a conquered enemy that now serves us, you see. And so far from, and we talked about Jesus anticipating his own death and seeing what it would accomplish this morning, and we see that now in our own. Far from separating us from the presence of God, Christ has so conquered death that it becomes the very means, the gateway by which he brings us into his presence. That is how we are more than conquerors. Whatever gifts he has given you here in this earthly life pale in comparison to what he gives on the other side of this valley. And he will lead you through. And it's his own presence in all of its fullness. And so David could write in an earlier psalm, "As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness." And whatever relationships he's given you here in this earth, relationships that you love and enjoy and cherish, whatever relationships may be severed for a time by death, are covered by the communion that you will have with Christ on the other side of this valley. And so David can write in an earlier psalm, "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." He's with us. He's with us through the valley. He will be with us in even greater measure on the other side of the valley. And here is the great comfort then to the sheep of the Good Shepherd. He's not abandoned you. He hasn't abandoned you at any moment in all of your life. Not even when you strayed from him like lost sheep. And he's not about to abandon you now in the hour of your greatest need. He's been faithful to you all your life. Even when you were faithless, he remained faithful every single step of the way. He's held on to you, and he's held on to you all your life. And he's held on to you even when you lost your hold on him. And he's not about to let you go now. And David concludes then with that great comfort of being a sheep of the Good Shepherd in this valley as we walk through it. The last phrase of verse 4. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The shepherd then traditionally carried with him two instruments, and they're named here, a rod and a staff. And there's comfort for the sheep in each of those instruments. A number of things going on here in this imagery. In the first place, a rod was used to count the sheep. It was often placed over an opening, and the sheep would literally then pass under the rod. And you can read about that and read that phrase in other places of Scripture, where the sheep would pass under the rod of the shepherd and be counted. The shepherd would also use that rod to personally examine each of the sheep, separating their fleece, inspecting them, making sure they're healthy. And it's conveying to us here in this shepherding imagery and these beautiful words, this beautiful scriptural thought. The good shepherd knows his sheep and he knows everything about you personally. In fact, he's even numbered the hairs of your very head so that not one of them falls to the ground apart from his good and perfect will. And yet another psalm of David, he speaks of those things and the comfort it brings to his soul. He says that every day of his life has been written in God's book before one of them ever came to be. The point, the shepherd knows the sheep. The shepherd knows the sheep. And what a comfort that is to the sheep. Another use of that rod was, of course, to defend the sheep, to drive away all enemies. There are enemies in that valley. It's a dark valley, and such is the care of the shepherd that he drives away every enemy so that none of them can touch you. So he carries with him his rod, and it's a comfort to the sheep, and he carries with him also his staff. And it's with that staff that he leads his sheep. Sometimes that valley can be dark, there can be pitfalls, it's deep, the sheep can't see the next step in front of them, but they hear the voice of their shepherd. They know he's leading, he's guiding, he's directing them, even with his staff. And they know he has his rod in his hand. And they know that the shepherd's promises to his sheep, that he has always cared for them and that he's going to care for them, and he will continue to guide and lead them and bring them even through this valley. So David can say, as a sheep of the good shepherd, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And so, dear sheep of the good shepherd, you too can be comforted in this today. The rod that has been laid upon you is not the rod of an enemy to destroy you, to beat you, to beat the sheep, but that of your shepherd who loves you. And the path which you are walking, no matter how difficult it may be, is the path the shepherd has chosen for you and has walked before you. It's the path he's chosen to bring you home. And we come back to that first statement then. We come back to the beginning of verse 4. Yea, though I walk. Spurgeon said, to walk indicates the steady advance of a soul which knows its road, knows its end, resolves to follow the path, feels quite safe, and is therefore perfectly calm and composed. Yea, though I walk through. Octavius Winslow put it this way: there's not a being in the vast universe more exposed to assault, yet not one more divinely and safely kept than a saint of God. Dear sheep of the good shepherd, there is none in all the universe more divinely and safely kept than you. Your shepherd will never, never, never let your soul be lost. You with me. This is our psalm. This is our comfort. This is our life. You with me. And all the sheep of the good shepherd said, amen. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you through the merits of your Son, by the leading of your Spirit, who bears witness with our spirit that we are your children. We are sheep that belong to the Good Shepherd. We're so thankful for this psalm, for its imagery. We're so thankful for the wonderful promises of your word that you are with us, that you never let us go. As a result, with David, there is nothing for us to fear, because there is nothing that can ever separate us from you. We thank you for that reminder tonight. We know we need it. We thank you for Jesus, who's laid down his life for the sheep. And Father, may we hear his voice and with gladness follow our good shepherd. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.